have a helm of preparation, then the reading of God's word. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Verses 1 through 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he, Elijah, saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." I want to talk about staying up in down times. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Staying up in down times. I recognize that for all of us, we have experienced tremendous shocks, plural. Things have happened. We've had storms. We've had the passing away of loved ones. We've had earthquakes. trouble on every hand. And if we're not careful, we can get down because of what has transpired in our lives. Amen. I would have us to note, and please take note of this, depression does not discriminate. Amen. Depression does not discriminate. Anyone can suffer depression. This mighty man of God, sitting under a juniper tree, wishing that he would die, wants to remove himself from the reality of what's going on. And for many, that's what happened. We want to remove ourselves from the reality of what is happening in our lives. But the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, we have to continue on and live day by day.
That's right.
Amen. I took the pleasure of looking up some things about clinical depression. And I would hasten to tell you there is no MD behind my name. Now, I want to make sure we understand that. However, after having said that, I want to tell us some things first about clinical depression. Then I want to tell us some things about what the Bible says and how we can reconcile these and we can stay up in down times. Amen. But you got to know that clinical depression occurs frequently. It causes much distress and dysfunction. You know, I always say that in every family there is some dysfunction. I know we like to act like we're so perfect. Everybody's got some dysfunction in their family. But it's usually unrecognized and undertreated. Hallelujah. What causes depression? What? For some, there's a genetic vulnerability, just like diabetes or high blood pressure. Relatives of folks with depressions are two or three times more likely to have depression than relatives of those without the illness. And you know, we call it an illness. Inherited risk makes individuals more likely to get depressed in response to a stressor. What's a stressor? Hurricane? All the things that are transpiring in our lives cause depression. And very often we don't recognize that we are slipping into a state of depression. Sometimes physical health conditions can bring on depression. Chronic back pain, Parkinson's disease, alcohol and other recreational drug usage can cause depression. Medication prescribed for other conditions can sometimes cause depression. Take something for your high blood pressure, and it interferes with your metabolism. Amen. You got to know, depression is not the person's fault. It's not a weakness. It's not a lack of control. Folks will say, snap out of it. Amen. That's not the way to deal with it. Amen. We're going to talk about how to deal with it, but just telling somebody, you've got to snap out of it. Well, you need to know what's going on yourself. Symptoms may include feeling down in the dumps, having the blues, sad, crying more often than not for more than 2 weeks. For some folks, particularly children and adolescents, they tend to become irritable or angry. Pre-existing pain increases in all. Immune systems go down with depression. One thing you really can tell, a loss of interest in things that used to be enjoyable no longer grabs you. Social withdrawal, isolation. Would you say that a mighty man of God sitting under a juniper tree, wishing that he would die, Would you say that he had a problem? Disturbance of sleep, sometimes insufficient, or it could be excessive sleeping. Restlessness, apathy, persistently low or poor energy, and easy fatigability, just tired. Feelings of worthless or excessive guilt, trouble concentrating, remembering or making decisions, thoughts of death or suicide. Untreated, the condition may manifest in delusions of excessive guilt or paranoia, hallucinations, hearing sounds or condemning voices that nobody else can hear. But I got good news for you, folk. Hallelujah. The Bible gives us some things that we can do that can change our circumstances. Amen. When we look at verse number 4, Elijah concluded that his work was fruitless. Consequently, that life was not worth living. He had lost his confidence in the triumph of the kingdom of God and was withdrawing from the arena of conflict. And that's what folk will do. And it's amazing to me when we think about what God had just done through Elijah in chapter number 18. In fact, we can back it up to chapter 17. And Elijah walked so close to God that God turned over his water department to him.
That's right.
Now, you got to walk pretty close to God for him to turn over the water department.
Uh-huh.
And for 3 years and 6 months, there was no rain.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all read that sometime.
Uh-huh.
In chapter 18, Elijah confronts Ahab. And he says to him, we need to show who God really is. He says to the children of Israel, you need to know. And when you're dealing with your states of depression, you need to know who God really is. Amen. You need to know who God is. Elijah says to Israel, let's meet on Mount Carmel. And it's always a good thing when you go to the mountain.
Right.
Amen. I mean, get out of the mountain. Go to the mountain. Get out of the valley.
That's right.
We find ourselves in the valley. We find ourselves having problems with our thought process, having problems with how we interact with one another. Our feelings about one another are valley experiences. You know, it's kind of like Charlie Brown. Why is everybody picking on me?
Yeah.
Amen. That's when you're in the valley.
That's right.
But when you go to the mountain, amen, you get a new perspective. Elijah said, let's go to the mountain and let's see who God really is and who is really God. He says to them, take a bullock. And each one of us will prepare this bullock on the altar. And the God that answers by fire, let's let him be God. And can I tell you something? Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 29 said, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. When you want to describe who God is, amen, he's fire. Amen. That's why the prophet could say, he's like fire, shut up in my bones. He said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God.
Yes.
Amen. There were 450 false prophets and 400 prophets of the grove. So Elijah said, since there are more of you than there is of me, you go first. And the Bible said that those 450 false prophets called on Baal. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're depending on somebody who can't help you, stop it. Know that our help comes from the Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't care what that the four sisters on Beale Street in New Orleans say, if they can't send you a hand that's going to make life better for you. Amen. Sister Sue can't help you. Go ahead, Pastor. Amen. Amen. The one that we will send funds to used to be Reverendo Ike, Post Office Box 50, New York, New York. Amen. Send some money to me and I'll help you with a prayer clause. Well, why don't we just go to the man who knows how to put out the cloth? But the Bible says, he told them, go ahead, call on your God. And so they called on God from morning to midday. Oh, Baal. Baal. Baal, help us. Guess what? Baal didn't help. How can he who can't move help you move? But the Bible says that Elijah looked at them and got a degree of chuckle to himself. To tell you what you do, boys, y'all call a little louder. Maybe Baal had to go to the bathroom and he can't hear you. And they cried out, Baal! Baal. They cut themselves with rocks and still Baal didn't answer. And the Bible said at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, let's tear all of this down and let's build up an altar to God. And then let's call on the God of the universe. Elijah put his animal on the altar. Hallelujah. And called on God. Let me tell you something. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. If you got a problem, call on the God of the universe. The prayer answering God. And the Bible said they called that Elijah called on God and said that the fire came down from heaven. Now you say, well, what's so strange about that? Well, fire normally goes up. But this fire came down. It burned up the sacrifice, lapped up all the water that had been poured around, and then burned up the stones. Why are you saying all of this, preacher? Because I want you to see the awesome God that we serve. And the power that was manifest on Mount Carmel. But in the midst of that, when God tells Elijah, amen, rain is about to fall. Amen. Elijah's feeling good. Until Ahab goes and tells Jezebel of what Elijah had done. And Jezebel sent word to Elijah and said, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like them folk that you killed. And now all of a sudden, depression sets in. And Elijah is running for his life. The Bible said he had gone to Beersheba, which is about 80 miles out of Jezebel's reign. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't care where you go. You can never get away from the protection of God. God is watching over those that are his. Are y'all thinking with me? And the Bible says that Elijah took off. And when he got to Beersheba, he told his servant, you stay here. Then he went an additional day's journey. And now he's sitting under a juniper tree, wishing that he was dead. Yeah. Now, what do you do? Jot this down. First thing you got to do is change your thinking. You got to move from your thinking to God's thinking. Amen. You got to understand how God reads your circumstance. Amen. We believe that I'm down and out, and God said, not so. If God be for you, who can be against you? He says, let this same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Know that the God that we serve is an able God. If he was able to rain down fire from heaven, don't you know he's able to take care of you? If you're going through your circumstance, don't you know that the same God that you were praising before your circumstance, he's still God? He still has the same power? He still loves you the same amount of love? And so we change our thinking and we start thinking God thoughts. Amen. God, you are a good God. You're worthy to be praised. In fact, let me tell you how Brother Paul says. He says in chapter 2 of Philippians, he says chapter 4, verse number 8, he says, finally, brethren, talking about your mindset, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the things that God has done for you. Think about how he brought you from there to here. And know that if what he did before, he'll do it again. Amen. God knows how to deliver you, long as we know how to trust him. And so number two, know that God in his mercy will provide your every need. You're not in it by yourself. Now what God does, he tells you as much as you can quickly develop a normalcy. Look what he tells Elijah in verse number 6. Elijah looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. God in his mercy provided what he needed. He needed substance, and he needed food, and he needed rest. When you're going through circumstances, don't withhold rest. Don't eliminate eating. I'm so hungry, but I just can't eat anything. Make yourself eat something. Amen. Because you need energy. Amen. You want to stay up? Amen. Let God's mercy provide for you.
Yes.
Number two, when you're going through whatever your circumstance is, stay in the will of God. Listen what God says to Elijah. hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse number 9. And he says unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Why are you here? Why are you cowering in a cave, hiding? You're a mighty man of God. Stand up like the mighty man of God that you are. Amen. Let God be God. And if God is for you, he's certainly more than the adversary that is against you. And I got to tell you something, folks. God is still greater than whatever you're going through. Stay in the will of God. Amen. The same way God showed himself strong on Mount Carmel, he can do it in Beersheba. You just have to learn how to trust God in whatever your circumstance is. Let me hurry, because I don't want you going to sleep on me. Number three. Amen. I may hoop in a minute. Maybe it'll wake you up. Number three. Listen for the voice of God. Amen. When you're going through that, listen for the voice of God. He will speak to you in your circumstance. Amen. Amen. I'm not telling you what I believe. I see it in the Bible, but he's done it in my life.
Yeah.
Amen. When you're going through things and you don't think you can make it, God will speak to you in your life.
Yes.
Amen. If you don't hear an audible word, take his written word and let him speak to you out of his logos. Amen. Amen. He says to him, arise and eat, because I've got a journey for you. Listen what God is saying to him. But listen at the response that Elijah had. Lord, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. I'm preaching and nobody's listening. And I know sometimes preachers feel that way. You're preaching and folks still keep doing whatever they were doing. They still doing it. But let's not be weary in well doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Be faithful to what God has ordained for you to do. And I got to tell you something, folks. Whatever the Lord has told you to do, be found faithful doing that. Amen. That is not, the preaching is not the only task that God gives. He gives folk the task of singing in the choir. He gives them the task of working on the usher board. He gives them the task of being missionary workers. He gives us all a purpose for working for him. And we ought to be found faithful to what God has called us to do. Amen. When circumstances come, that does not mean you are to quit the work. It simply means that you need to trust God to get you through it. Listen what he said. Listen what he said. And I, even only I'm left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to me, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great wind, great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And that's what you're listening for, the voice of God. And he tells you, as he says in verse 13, get it right. Amen. I'm coming to you the second time. Get it right. What God says is that there is a purpose I have for you. Amen. And when you're down and out, you can't fulfill the purpose that I have for you. Look what he says to him. Hallelujah. Beginning in verse number 15. The Lord said to Elijah, go and return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. What are you telling me, Pastor? I'm saying that God has a purpose. Amen. Satisfy the purpose. Fulfill the purpose. Do the kingdom work that God has anointed you to do. Listen what he says. He says, when you come to the wilderness of Damascus, I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abimelech shall thy anointed be prophet in thy room. In other words, he's telling Elijah, I've got a work for you to do. And I stopped by to tell you that the Lord still has a work for his people. Amen. You might be going through things and you might be down, but let me tell you, get up because your purpose has to be realized. God says, I want you to be able, number one, to anoint. Amen. I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. I want you to be able to carry out the purpose that I've ordained for your life. I want you to go a little bit further and then anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, to be the king over Israel. And then I want you to anoint Elijah to be your successor. God says that you're going to be called off the scene, but I want you to prepare for your moving out, that there can be a smooth transition. I want you to know that God still says, I have a purpose for your life. You might think that all hell is broke loose in your life, and I don't see how I'm going to make it, but I stop by to tell you, yes, you can. If you trust God, God will provide everything you need. He'll start with your thought process. Let me start thinking like God thinks. When I look at people, I want to see them not as people that are down and out, but I want to see them as people that I can help as I pass along this way. You know, sometimes we want to look down at folk, but I've stopped by to tell you there are folk we're looking down on that we ought to be looking up to. And I got a witness here. There are those that may be down and out, but God said, I still have purpose for them. So when we see need, when there is need, we ought to be able to say, this is an opportunity. And when I've got an opportunity, I ought to bless somebody. And so I want to touch somebody as I pass along this way. And then when I think about that God has provided everything I need. Have I got a witness here? You know, when you're in depression, there are medications that you can take. And I'm certainly not saying don't take the medication. But in the midst of the medication, you need to know that God is. You're the one of them that you're doing the same. I don't know about you, but every now and then, thank the Holy Ghost. Every now and then, when I feel down and out, I like to tell folk if I can make it to the pulpit, everything will be alright. I might not feel well, sometimes I feel age, God have mercy. Every now and then I'm walking slow, but when I get to the pulpit, something happens in my heart. He anointed Elisha to be in his stead. I want you to know about Elisha. For the Bible says when he found Elisha, he was praying, he was bowing. Hallelujah. With 12 yoke of oxen. What I'm trying to get you to see is that God never calls lazy folk. Spiritual perception. Yeah.
You never know how the turf rolled up and down the hills when you came to Elias and I'm what are you saying, Amos? God never called lazy folk up. It takes a mighty good formula to plow it with yoke. Yes, I know, and they walked together, but when they got to Jordan, Elijah took his mantle and smote the waters, and they walked across, and the battle witnessed it, and the Bible says, in that land, the prophet said again, do you know that your servant, that man can be taken away, and Elijah said, just stay your peace. And I want you to know this, when you serve God, He won't let things slip up on you, but He'll let you go when He's going to move. For the Bible says that the Lord reveals His secrets to His prophets, and we got a witness here, and the Bible said that Elijah, thank you Holy Ghost, and Elijah were walking together, and as they walk together, the Bible said that a flaming chariot came down, separated him asunder. Elijah stepped on the chariot and headed to glory. And the Bible said that He died. cross.
Sorry.
You love me so much that you didn't let me stay all the time. He died. Stepped on the chariot, went back to God, that same God, the Bible says, when he was Jesus, stepped on a cloud and went on back to glory. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Attached to the electrical cord, but if you don't plug it in, you get no power. I want you to know when you're feeling down and out. Plug in! Plug in! To the power of God. Don't try to do it by yourself. The weight is too heavy. The problem is too big for you, but never too big for God. Amen. Whatever it is you're going through, have I got a witness? Somebody said, well, he's been God all the time. He doesn't know. Every human experience that we have experienced, God knows about. Amen. His son got tired, hungry, weary. The father had heartache. Somebody said, but you don't know. Yes, he knows. When his son died, he couldn't even look on him. The Bible said he that knew no sin became sin. And when he became sin, when we talk about propitiation, the wrath of God being poured out, God had to turn his back. And couldn't even look at his son as he died for our sins. I don't know what that means anything to you or not. But God loved me so much that he let his son die. But I'm glad that there's a get good enough morning. Amen. Amen. All the saints of God gonna get up again. Amen. Amen. Just like Jesus got up, all those who sleep in him will get up. And the thing that's so beautiful about it is to ever be with the Lord. Now, let me say this and I'm done. But see, there are some folk who have trouble with all that singing and clapping and all that stuff. Well, let me tell you something. You better start practicing. Because when you get to heaven, that's all we're going to do. But we who love it, amen, don't have to worry about getting up going to work. Amen. Every day I get up and truck away. Well, what you gonna do at night? There's no night there. It's all day. Amen. When you can't praise it, you've got a real problem.
Amen.
I'm done. Remember this. No greater love than this.
That's right.
was to this. He died for you. And then he got up. But then in John 14, he says something interesting, because he says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you.
All right.
If I go, I'm going to come again.
All right.
And receive you.
Yeah.
Now see, for some folk, that doesn't measure in your thought process. But let me see if I can help you with an usher. See, when ushers, they receive you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you know what they do? They usher you to your seat.
Yeah.
Well, see, there are those who make you a Christian. There are those who like to say, Brother Peter is at the gate. No, Peter's not there at the gate. Because Jesus said, I am the way,
right. The
truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No one comes to the Father except.
Amen.
And so when we come into his presence, he's going to usher us in. Then he's going to take us to that mansion.
Yes.
That he has prepared for us.
Yeah.
Now, if you can think about it,
yeah.
It does not matter what kind of splendor you live in here. Mm-hmm. It's not to be compared to the majesty of the.
Yeah.
See, I tell folks all the time, I want the King James Version.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't come giving me no room. As some of the new translations said, in my Father's house are many rooms. No, King James said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He will usher you to your mansion. And your mansion is in the sky. Hallelujah. We shall extend a tribute to the church. If you have not made peace with God,